Hey, I'm Daniel Colburn.
And I'm Caleb Porzio.
Welcome to 20% Time, where two coworkers discuss one programming topic every Friday for less than 20 minutes. So, Caleb, we're doing a podcast.
We are doing a podcast.
We were talking after one of our work calls. We just hung on a little bit and we were talking about stuff. And I was like, I think we need to do a podcast. So Fridays are our 20% day at Titan. And we get to work on side projects and things that are interesting that benefit Titan. And we were like, why don't we do a podcast between two people.
Yeah. We have a Slack channel in for Titan called Discuss Dev, and all this great conversation happens there all the time. And so I think this is sort of bringing some of those highlights to the masses.
Yeah. So we have a little Trello board right now that's full of things that have come up in Discuss Dev in like the last month. And so we're going to try and turn some of those into topics, talk about one topic every episode, and see how that goes.
Yeah. So first up is Laravel macros. I just wrote a blog post about this, so I assume we'll put that in the show notes or something to kind of catch up on that. But Daniel, how familiar are you with Laravel macros?
I had never written a Laravel macro until I read your blog post.
Okay. And what did you write?
That is how familiar. What did I write after your blog post?
Yeah.
Like I saw your example and just kind of implemented it.
Cool.
But yeah, I don't use them in my like day-to-day life, although I might start.
Okay.
If you convince me.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, Laravel macros, just to catch up, are basically like, so any Laravel facade, request facade, when you do request colon colon all or something like that, or Eloquent, if you have a model, they're what's called macroable. It's a PHP trait on that class. And you can basically define custom methods for them. So if you create a macro, let's say hello world, then you could do like request colon colon macro hello world, and then pass in like a callback of any sort of functionality your heart desires. And then throughout your whole application, you can do request colon colon hello world. Does that make sense? I know speaking code is always a bummer, but does that clarify?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense.
Cool. Yeah, so I personally don't know when I discovered them, but the idea of them just kind of tickles my fancy because it's like any sort of custom thing that you do feels very custom, I think. Like in my code, like if I need to do like a one-off object or class or something, I do it and then it looks kind of like not janky, but it's just out of the flow. And then I'm always so happy when one of those things gets put into Laravel Core, so it can be this clean-looking thing on a facade or in a Fluent chain. And so macros basically allows me to feel that way about anything my heart desires, which is kind of why I love them so much.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you made a list of macroable facades. So it's cache, file, lang, request, response, route, and URL, right?
Yeah, I don't recall offhand, and that list is ever changing. There's tons of people constantly pull requesting new macroables, and I try to look for them and add them as they pop up. But yeah, that's the gist of them. Yeah.
Awesome. So what's like your favorite macro you've written?
So the one lately, I guess the one that sparked this whole thing is somebody like a client wanted to do a bunch of TLD stuff, and that's what I put in the blog post. Top level domain, like, and that stuff that just Laravel on the request facade just doesn't support. And so it's kind of like, it's handy. And I was able to create a bunch of cool things that do stuff based on the TLD. So that's what got me started. But I think my favorite one, I just added macroable to session manager. So I think Laravel 5.4.19 or 20 has the session manager is macroable, which basically means, or session guard, sorry, which means you can do auth colon colon and then a macro. So you actually, the weird thing is that you define the
Oh,
macro.
cool.
Yeah, you define the macro on the session guard, which is kind of weird. And then you can call the macro on auth colon colon. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, like on session guard, I created a macro. Like you can create a macro for everything. For me, a huge pain point is constantly doing like auth arrow user arrow something like all over the place. I always have these chains of auth user something. So I did this so that I could just create like short
Right.
circuits. Like so, I could like if it's auth arrow user arrow company, now I can just do auth arrow company. So that's my favorite one, I think.
Right. So that'll be super useful for like multi-tenant apps or something where you need to get the team or get, something along those lines. You could do like, just auth team instead of like auth user team or something.
Right, yeah, and even if it's more complicated, like if it somehow goes through the user but it's not a direct Eloquent relation, you could, do some macro fun thing, which would be cool.
That's cool. Nice. So it makes sense that it's on all of these facades. You probably wouldn't want to do it on facades that are super like you wouldn't want a model to be macroable, really. That's because that's what I'm thinking about is I'm like I always want to build like weird custom like model methods. But you wouldn't really want to do that, I guess, because of the potential that like, it might depend on like a column or something.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
That's something you'd better like put in a trait or something.
I mean, models like are kind of macroable inherently because you can write whatever
You make
methods you
them
want.
for.
Right. Yeah. Which is the difference there. But there's definitely cautions like that for sure. So you're saying like the danger would be, overriding something or what would the danger be in that
Well,
scenario?
no. So for example, like if you like request is macroable, right? But you could always, extend request and then put traits on those classes that extend request.
Right,
But
right.
instead of doing that, it makes a lot more sense to just add these things to request because there's so few cases where a specific request instance is going to have abilities that another requested instance wouldn't.
Right.
Whereas model is a much more like dynamic situation. So, for example, like the one example I'm thinking of from a side project I'm doing is I have an authorable trait that I put on models,
Okay.
which basically adds a add method instead of like, so in addition to like the create method from Laravel, it has an add method, and add is just create, except that it sets the author ID of the thing to the currently authenticated user's ID.
Nice.
And so there's like tons of things in the app where it's like, oh, I want this to just be authored by whatever user is currently logged in.
Right.
And so it feels like I'm kind of extending like I'm extending the functionality of model there because add feels like it belongs with create.
Right.
And so that's where I start to think like, oh, maybe like if model was macroable, I could put an add method on model or something like that, but then it gets weird because that also depends on the migration and adding that author ID column. And so
Right.
that's what I'm saying about that is like it makes more sense for things that aren't like directly mutating like stored data.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's so many different things to talk about just in that example, that authorable
Yeah.
trait example. I mean, it's just this is kind of like a bigger conversation about how do you approach customizing Laravel or like, your add method. I think I have something like that. I think at one point I did like a model hooking into the create event and then attaching the user there, which of course like it's this whole balance of the like of the what the heck like of somebody coming in your application and all this stuff happening in secret. And macroing
Yeah,
definitely
I
has
wrote that
its
method so many times. Like I wrote that whole process of like I want to automatically have an author. I think I wrote it 3 times. And then I just ended up with like I'm just gonna have an add
yeah, I mean
method.
that makes sense. So it's like, okay, so from a new user's perspective of a new user or a new developer or something, they come in and they see this ad. Do you like, are we assuming that they would see ad and know instantly it's not core Laravel?
Well, they would know it's not I mean, I'm assuming that it's a Laravel developer. I don't want someone who's never used Laravel editing my source code anyway.
Yeah, that's
but
a good point.
They would know that it's not create. That's the big point, right? My issue was, at first I was going to try and like hack the create method mm-hmm. on this specific model to only, you know, to automatically set this up. I tried doing like, there's like a whole thing. I kind of wish that you could default foreign keys, but there's like a whole drama about setting a default foreign key.
Hmm.
Because theoretically, like if you have like a many to many relationship, you need to set that foreign key in two places. So they don't want you to do it like that.
Right.
So anyway, long story short, like, I thought about a bunch of ways of doing this. Right. And so at the end of the day, I was like, I think like the only way that I'm not going to get confused in 3 months is if I don't use the create method. So I just needed like a new method. And I feel like author, like the verb author would be good, except that it's also a noun.
Hmm.
And so I needed the noun to be the relationship.
Right.
You know, so like post dot, well, it's not even dot. I always say dot, even though it's Laravel and it's arrow, but arrow is too long. Anyway, post dot author refers to the relationship. And so I can't have a method called author that means like cause something to be authored.
Right.
So I just went with add.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. And if I saw that like emerge as a pattern throughout your code that, oh, this add thing, I mean, it's a handy solution. The thing in the back of my mind, and this may be getting off of topic, but it's, like I said, I think it's this big topic, like the topic of macros, like you figure out how to use them and you're like, oh, that's so simple, it makes sense. The problem with them is that there's this problem where people don't know if it's core Laravel or not. And it's sort of that problem of things happening in secret. And like I mentioned, my create hook, where I had some model create hook that added the auth user. And yeah, obviously that's not the best thing because it's hard to reason about.
What if you just did something like underscore in front of all of your macros?
That's what I would think. I act like visually. As a joke, like we were talking about this and discussed Devin as a joke. I was like, not as a joke, but as like an extreme end of this argument that I should prefix all my macros with macro or underscore, something that's like clearly
under. I think underscore kind of makes sense because it's like, oh, like create doesn't, or I know it's not create, but it's like, you know, get content doesn't have. Get content doesn't have an underscore in front of it. So like, why does this thing have an underscore in front of it? It at least like makes them ask a question.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely
it
a better
points to this being different than other methods.
Yeah. Right. Then you have the confusion of underscores as, you know, prefixing methods in general. And usually it's like hidden things or protected or, you know, meant for like, so, but yeah, I definitely like the idea and it's much better than the ridiculous macro. Prefix.
Can you put a plus sign? Plus is like this is an addition, so it's like I added this to the thing.
I'm pretty sure you can't. I don't know.
It'd be
for sure,
sweet
though.
If you could, though.
That would be sweet. That totally would be. Yeah, I thought similar things that it would be cool to denote that this is a custom thing. Yeah, I don't know. It's just so the thing that I have to wrestle with is like this your add method example that a part of me so. Every part of me wants to create an add method and especially wants to put it as a macro and wants, you know, all those things. But at the end of the day, like just for the sake of arguing this out that like, why is the create method not better? Like just straight create and then passing in manually the auth user ID with.
Mm-hmm. You know. Like on the created event or creating event.
Yeah, right. Like this is something that I just battle with myself all day, every day, stuff like this.
For me, it's because that logic is like hidden in a event listener then.
Yeah, meaning the bad way, or you're saying?
I'm saying using the create method.
Like I'm saying like explicitly passing in an array, you know, of attributes.
Uh-huh.
When you call create, you know what I'm saying?
And including an author ID in that?
Yeah, right. Literally.
Author IDs aren't mass assignable. You can't mass assign foreign keys.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like for each one? Like literally every time I create something?
Yeah, right. Yep.
No. Sorry, I was thinking about defaults, not mass assignment. No, you can mass assign it, but then it's terrible. It's like then literally everywhere in my app that I have to create this thing, I have to say author is the currently logged in user, even though every single time, this is for a task manager, right? So it's like every single time I create a task, I want the author of that task to be me. There's never a time I don't want that.
So what if it was like create with author?
Yeah, so I thought about that. I also thought of author new. And that was a way I could use author as a verb. But yeah, create with author is kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's something where somebody would read that and know instantly that this is something somebody added, so they'd be able to find it quickly.
Ooh, actually, what about just a with author method that saves the
so like, you like an you implied just, create?
Well, no. You'd run a create and then arrow with author.
I think the problem with that is if it was a foreign
key. It has to be nullable. Yeah.
That's the bummer. Like, I've done weird things where you, like, new up the class, you know, first and then add all your stuff so that you save it all at one time.
The make method that you can use in factories is really cool because you basically, like, it does that.
Right. You kind of wish defer.
I kind of wish you had access to make everywhere.
Yeah.
Because make is a really nice method.
It's essentially like, like you would call make instead of create, and then...
And then you're not persisting it. And then you could say with author, and then you could... And that would save it.
Right. Like you just defer the persistence until the end of the chain instead of having some janky, like, newing up or passing in manually. That would be nice. We should do that. So we could probably create a macro.
Okay, that's gonna be our next episode. Our next episode will be talking about various ways to automatically set up relationships before you persist something to the database.
Yeah, that's good. I dig
that's
it.
That's good. And that's like, we're at 21 minutes, so this is an episode.
Ba-boom.
Ba-boom.
Ba-boom. Sweet.
All this music is by Jared White, so thank you, Jared.